Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Fit Club, we talk about what kidney stones and the flu have in common. Can you give your partner a fitness tracker for Valentine's Day? And can you be fit and fat at the same time? Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
Welcome, Fit Clubbers. It's a beautiful Valentine's Day here. How are you doing? How are you doing,
Mr. Ned? I think I should just start taking the music choices because this is.
I'm not really feeling this. I thought it was Valentine's Day. Ed Sheeran, a little bit of
Beyonce. I know, but you could like do a little pop. Baby Boy, Sean Paul, and Beyonce.
Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful mood. Anyways, happy Valentine's Day. Hopefully, it's putting you guys out there in a good mood. My name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
Hey guys, my name is TK Trinidad. You can find me on everything at TK Trinidad.
Well, what a crazy day we've had today. Obviously, our thoughts and prayers are with those in Parkland right now. Mm-hmm. That school shooting was just insane. Just a sad event today. I don't know what it says for. I was telling you, it feels so unsafe now. I didn't ever worry about going to school when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. I don't even know. I guess maybe because I cover the news often. When I saw it, it wasn't. It was just. I don't even know how to say it. But it was. It was not as. I wasn't surprised or shocked.
Yeah.
Meaning that obviously I was shocked that it was happened, but it's happened before, and it's just kind of like.
Yeah,
we're dealing with this thing on Valentine's Day. It just kind of like, dawned on me too. So, apparently the kid. Well, I don't want to get into the whole thing. Google it. But apparently the kid was expelled from school, and he's said on multiple occasions that he had his guns, and he used to tell people that he would bring it to school, all this other stuff. So 17 people passed away. And I think 12 were injured.
And there's so much on both sides about what should be done, but something has to be done. I don't know what the solution is necessarily, but something, because this is becoming a problem.
Well, that's the thing. It's just like both sides are just saying the same thing every time the shooting happens. So whatever side you're on, still there needs. Like you're saying, something has to be done,
and maybe just electing all new people together to just come up with practical solutions. But I guess on to our stories. So what do kidney stones and the flu have in common? Not much, but they are both on the rise.
what do they have in common?
Not much, but they are both on the rise. So apparently kidney stones in particular are on the rise. Women 18 to 39 have the highest increase. And they did a study between 1984 and 2012, 10,000 Minnesotans, and they tracked their increase of kidney stones. And it looks like calcium oxalate is something that can build up in your system and is responsible for the majority of them. So it's really important to stay hydrated and to reduce our sodium. One thing to note is they're not really sure how this might play out in different ethnicities, because they basically found there's a higher amount of kidney stones in white folks, and this study, and as a result, like a lot of the studies, I guess, only look at that population. So this study had about 90%, it looked at Caucasians, 90%. Right. And so we don't really know what exactly is happening in the African-American community or Latin communities or Native American communities. Right. Have you had any personal experience or know of people that are dealing with this?
I haven't, but I think the one thing that stuck out to me in this article was that, you know, water is a huge prevention.
Yeah.
And we have so many, if you look at, I don't know, the options of beverages that we had 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago compared to now, you know, with the, you know, people don't want to drink water, so you can add this to the water, and you have your Gatorades, and you have all this other stuff, and people are not just drinking water.
Yeah.
So I think no matter what ethnicity you are, like, that's just the key, and it's so basic.
Good prevention, yeah.
So it's just kind of like, I don't think people understand how the benefits of that water can do, and we all, including myself, like, you know, when I'm on my, you know, it's in my psyche, I drink enough water that I need. But when it's not, I might finish, like, I carry a water bottle with me everywhere. I might finish the water bottle, that one, or I might not even finish it in the day.
And you might reach for food thinking you're hungry when you're really dehydrated.
Yeah. And there's keys to how you know you're dehydrated that your body tells you. Yeah. But again, if you're not... If you're not in tune with your body, then you can't even tell those signs.
Yeah.
So, like, I know. It's like, okay, yeah, it's time for me to start drinking more water. So I think that was, like, the definite key of it that I don't think we do a lot of preventative things health-wise. Like, there's so many natural things that we can do that we don't have to deal with, but instead we're, you know, adding all these things to, you know, lose weight, get skinny, do this, do that. And it's not, you know, drinking water is...
Yeah.
So basic.
And the recommendation is for kidney stones is 2 to 3 quarts of water a day. And normally about 3 quarts of water a day will help you if you have a kidney stone 3 millimeters or less will help you release that.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely a lot we can do. I was a little concerned that there hasn't been too much study in different ethnicity, different populations, because you know we're not paying attention to a lot in these medical studies. So a lot of times that also comes down into treatment and prevention, and we're not getting those messages because these studies aren't necessarily aimed at minority communities.
Yeah.
But it's still something to do. Now that we are aware of it, that everyone should do regardless.
I would think if they do studies like that, it would be studies. People would start doing the studies if they notice it in certain communities. Like, I think it might not have been as prevalent because no matter what, this is something that it's not something that you can hide and not report.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you need medical attention.
But we do know that minorities tend to go to doctors less often.
Right, but when they do and they find out it is a kidney stone, like that's still in the report.
Yeah, I think it's likely that minorities would be less likely to go to a doctor over a kidney stone than others. And so I think it's possible we're underreporting.
So then you have a bigger size kidney stone than
you have so many people, whether it's socioeconomic or just due to ethnicity and like cultural fear, that don't go to the doctor regardless because, you know, they might think they might not have enough money to pay for the doctor.
Right.
Or maybe they have legal trouble that if they go to the doctor, they think they'll be alerted to that.
Yeah, but...
Or there might be a cultural fear of, I don't trust doctors, they kill people, so I'll deal with this pain on my own.
So I wonder if you don't go to the doctor, what are the ramifications? Because I'm assuming that if you don't...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the end result if you get a kidney stone is left untreated. I know it's severe pain.
Right.
I know a lot of people get addicted to opiates as a result of trying sometimes
to
deal
some
with kidney pain.
Okay.
So you could end up going down this line. So that hopefully we're breaking down some of those like barriers of not going to the doctor. You know, you get treated, and you regardless of your socioeconomic status. Certainly, the doctors aren't sharing information with the police if you have issues of that nature. So, and the cultural fear, I think, is also big, as people are afraid of doctors. So.
Yeah, it's I'm scared of it, and I've been to a doctor every year of my life. But in this climate, it's very the fear for me is just the cost.
Exactly,
and I have health care.
Yeah,
you know?
You're still afraid, like, well, this is not going to be covered. My deductible is going
to
be this.
Yeah, well, it's great. One thing that I have to get out there as far as the healthcare system that annoys me, and this is why I'm saying to anybody who does decide to go to a doctor, don't sign all the paperwork. Yeah. Read the paperwork because a lot of those sheets. One sheet in particular says that you're signing off to when any additional charges that they charge, and that's in the paperwork, folks. So if you do go to a doctor, just make sure, because I went to the doctor, and this is, you know, my doctor I go every year now, and I refused. I'm not signing the paperwork. You guys tell me what I need to get done, and then I'll authorize it. But I'm not signing in addition to. That's not happening. And you're obligated to do that. So just be aware. Just read that, because I got like 20 pages of paper when I was starting a new doctor.
And it's so problematic, because it's usually at a time where you're kind of like desperate. Like if you're in a doctor's office, you're probably desperate in some shape, way, or fashion.
So just read that paperwork, folks.
Absolutely. And same thing with the flu. Flu is on the rise. But this is a little bit more bigger of a problem because people are dying because of the flu. It looks like it's up to about 60 out of 100,000 people are suffering from the flu, which is one of the highest levels we've ever had on record. 34 million got sick with the flu before, and we're on track to beat that.
Mm-hmm.
That was the previous record. So... right now, they're running out of tests even to test people for the flu. And so they're recommending to doctors only to really test people that have an underlying condition that the flu would exacerbate and make worse. So certainly, if you think you have the flu, you want to pay close attention to your symptoms and your signs and start getting treated right away. What do you think about the vaccinations?
I don't know.
They're still recommending. We're kind of later in the flu season, begins in October, but they're still saying it's beneficial to get one. Have you gotten one?
No, I haven't gotten a vaccination in I don't even know how many years. I just don't know, but I know what my gut tells me, and
wait a minute, this might be the cultural thing we were talking
about. Well, no, because I go to the doctor all the time, like meaning that I go for prevention. So I do a yearly.
Well, vaccines are preventative, to
a certain extent, but for me, the flu vaccine you can go and get at CVS.
Yeah.
So I've always opted out of the flu vaccine. There's not enough.
cultural fear.
It's not a cultural fear. It's just more like, for, you know how everybody say, I even got into this habit too. You know how everybody uses the stuff to clean your hands, the bacteria, hand sanitizer and stuff like that. We didn't have that.
Yeah.
Like years ago. And you know, people weren't dropping dead. And you know, it almost, and even with the kids today, like I see my friends with their kids and they're always wiping them down and all this other stuff. Like I remember I was playing the sandbox and I'd come home and there'd be sand, like, you know, I was just filthy.
Yeah.
Right. And obviously I wanted to take a bath, but it was just kind of like, it just seems like we're almost over sanitizing. And then for certain instances where it's like the flu vaccine, like it feels like ever since it started that we've, you know, it's helping to fight another strain.
Yeah.
But did those strange occur because of the original flu vaccine? Because now it's kind of created another way against that. Like, you know, of course it sounds, you know, like, you know, out of this world, well, but I'm just kind of, you know, it just, because I know a lot of people who haven't done the flu vaccine.
Well, I've never done it, but I was considering doing it as I was reading this article.
Right.
And then I found out, so basically the dominant strain this season is the H3N2 strain.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently this vaccine that they do have is not as effective against that strain. That's number one. And the strain that is effective against the flu virus B, apparently it's only about 55% effective. So while you're increasing it, it's not like foolproof. So you can actually get this vaccine and still get the flu.
Right.
And so that to me kind of was like, well, you know, I'll gamble a little bit more now. That's not like completely going to alleviate any possibility.
Well, yeah, this is where it plays into, you know, being healthy and knowing your body. Like if you do, and of course, you know, freak accidents happen and things happen, but people that I know who are healthy in the healthy way, meaning that they're not doing extreme diets, they're living their life, they're, you know, they're working out, or they're just living a healthy life. They're not smoking every day, all this other stuff. As far as I know, they don't get the flus. They don't get that stuff. They might get, you know, later on in life, they might get the extreme, like, you know, the cancers and stuff like that. But some of that stuff, it doesn't really matter if you're healthy or not.
Yeah, and if you do get the flu, if you're generally healthy, your body's going to fight it off. So it's really people that do have to be extra careful of those with underlying conditions.
Right.
The flu could exacerbate pneumonia and that stuff. But certainly, I think it's worth looking into if you're concerned to get a vaccine. It is a little bit more protective, but I haven't gotten one, so.
I don't know, because it's just, and you can almost say it's, you know, depending on where you work, but if you go to the gym, that's a cesspool of, you know, germs. Like, pretty much anywhere, the money that you handle, like, all that stuff is there. But again, if you go to the gym on a regular basis and you're around all this dirt and this grime and these germs, then your body's almost building up a tolerance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things where I think it's safer to get the flu vaccine. I just personally think it's not safer for me.
We're both not doctors in any short way, shape, or form. But yeah, I haven't gotten in years, and I know a lot of athletes and all fitness people, and they.
Yeah, I think if I see people that I believe are healthy and their immune systems are strong start to, like, get super ill or drop dead or anything, then I'm like, okay, now it's time for the vaccine.
Yeah.
Nothing's working, so.
Yeah, but yeah, even when people are, like, coughing and stuff like that, I'm like, okay, so what's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, but again, there's germs and everything around us, and it's almost like you should let it be around in order for your body to kind of grow that.
Yeah.
You know, that strength to fight it.
Yeah, to a degree, I think our awareness has made us extra paranoid. Because, you know, before you couldn't necessarily see bacteria under a microscope, but now you can see it. It's in a commercial, and you get to know that it's on your kitchen counter. So I think that kind of makes us very hypersensitive to all of it. But another interesting topic I thought was interesting was, was whether or not you can be fit and fat at the same time. You know, I've seen people that have been overweight and very fit, but, you know, I didn't necessarily know if it corresponded to the markers of fitness. I'm talking about cholesterol, triglycerides, and they have found out of a study out of York University that the benefits of exercise can actually outweigh the health effects of obesity.
Mm-hmm.
And obesity being defined by a BMI greater than 40. And they found that when they measured triglycerides and different metrics of health for people that were obese yet they were fit, that they didn't fall into the ranges for the danger of high blood pressure, stroke, or having high triglycerides.
Right. Yeah, you know, the whole BMI thing is, especially if you work out on a regular basis, you know, you could be on the opposite side of the opposite scale of the BMI, and you're still very fit. Yeah. And I have a friend, what up, Jorge? I have a friend. Mm-hmm. He. If you look at him, he's chunky,
yeah.
right? But he does CrossFit 5 days a week. Yeah. He eats fairly healthy, but you know all his and he actually goes to the doctor on a regular basis. Yeah. All his tests are fine.
Yeah.
So I mean, then you also get into the other side where it's somebody who's feels that they're skinny or they're not underweight, they're skinny, they feel like they're average, and they don't go to the doctor because they feel like, if there was an issue with me, I'd see it physically, and they might have the high cholesterol and yeah. stuff like that. So, I mean, it just really kind of the deciding factor is how much do you work out, how much, like, what yeah. type of eating you're doing, and if you know in your heart of hearts that you haven't worked out in 6 months, and, you eat out like more like, Taco Tuesday and yeah. Wendy's and stuff like that, then you know in your heart of hearts, you're really not, big bones. Yeah. You're really overweight.
Yeah. And I think this is actually encouraging because I know a lot of people 2, 3, 4 months in will be working out but not see the results they want physically. Mm-hmm. But at least now you know that internally you're getting the good results.
Right.
And so I think it was actually a really good study. So people, if you're not seeing results that you like in the mirror, it doesn't mean you're not actually doing something that's really positive right. for your body.
But I think no matter what you do, you're going to see results in the mirror. It just depends on you almost have to, if you're really serious about it, you almost have to look at different testing tools.
Yeah.
So of course you could take your BMI, you can use the scale, you can do a measuring tape, you can do pictures, and the scale might not move, but the measuring tape might move.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like you have to, and again, you need a professional to do all of that stuff. But like for myself, like I have a measuring tape. I weigh myself. I mean, I check my BMI every, 6 weeks or stuff like that. So I have different elements. But again, like I pissed off myself this morning. Like the scale hasn't moved, but my pants are looser.
Yeah. And then you look at another metric and you go, okay, well, the scale didn't move, but that's because the muscle weighs right. more. Da, da, da.
And
yeah.
then, then you can look into changing up your program or whatever. But again, it's just if you're serious about it, or if you're questioning it, then you have to take different types of tests that really don't. I mean, the measuring tape costs 99 cents.
Yeah.
It's not that serious.
And I do tell people sometimes we don't notice the physical changes in our body, so I say take a picture every mm-hmm. day in the mirror, just for you. You're not going to show it to anybody.
Yeah.
So don't worry what it looks like. And then you will actually, when you look back at the 5 or 6 days you've been working out and dieting, mm-hmm. you'll see the changes when you look at the picture, but
yeah.
you may not see it because we have our own minds about mm-hmm. the way we look. So. But it is good to know that you are getting healthy regardless of the aesthetic changes you may see. And I love this one about how to give your partner a fitness tracker. Or, Valentine's Day is a great way to say, hey, look, I want to get you in shape. I love you. Let's do this. Or even just
terrible
your friends.
Idea.
Like, how do you... Because, I have friends that I'm always trying to get fit, and so I have my little tip, like my little ways of
terrible
getting in
idea.
There. Well, they thought number one was... To say, let's do this together. Make it an us thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the script was, hey, babe, what was it? I got this fitness tracker so we can both get in shape. I remember you liked that hike last our last vacation, so we can go hiking every weekend. I found some new trails, and here's
terrible
this beautiful
idea.
Bad idea.
Terrible idea.
He's still getting slapped.
I feel like no matter who you are, like for instance, if you go to the gym, right, and you're checking out different gyms and stuff like that, somebody who their intention was already to get a gym membership, you don't need to sell them on anything.
Yeah.
And of course, if somebody's a good salesperson, they might sell them into the membership, but that person might not commit, right? So I feel like somebody who, if your partner
yeah.
wants to work out, or if you notice, so say if you notice your partner, gaining weight,
yeah.
right? Maybe the best thing for you, and say you haven't gained weight, you've stayed the same, maybe the best thing for you to do is to,
leave, walk away?
Actually go and work out and do your stuff, and then almost kind of like encourage,
yeah.
but not, you have to kind of know your partner.
Yeah.
Because if you tell me, oh well, we went hiking last week. I bought you this fit tracker or fat tracker, so we can go hiking every weekend. I was like, wait, I didn't agree to go hiking every weekend. Why are you one buying me one at Valentine's Day, and then two, now you're saying we're hiking every weekend is something that we didn't even discuss or agree to? Yeah, you're not getting anything for Valentine's Day.
So completely
seriously.
Backfired.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. And again, you have to know your partner.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in a situation like that where I was in a relationship and I gained weight, and how he brought it up to me was. It was terrible and actually backfired
yeah.
because it was just like, well, I'm already not in this good place as it is.
Yeah.
Then what's the point now?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and then when I was finally ready to commit to doing something on a daily basis, which I do, and I've been there before and I've been on the ups and downs and stuff like that, I was ready.
Yeah.
And there's certain things that no matter how, like, even if you're encouraging somebody to find a job, like, I mean, I have a friend who's been out of work for almost 2 years. Well, acquaintance, nice. Not a friend. But you know, 2 years, and it's like no matter what you say,
yeah.
You know, there you want the best for that person, but no matter what you say, it's not going to get them off the couch.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like you live your life. And, you know, something might inspire them. You might, instead of going to a hike, you might take them to, you know, an athletic event. Yeah. Instead of going to that, you might take them to, you know, you go to different things and something in that might inspire them.
Yeah.
So, you know, that to me, maybe in another relationship it might work, but I don't know too many women that would work.
Yeah, and I think it become especially hard if, like, maybe both people start overweight and then one person gets that desire and that kick and right. motivation before the next person does.
Yeah.
So I think it can be difficult, but, you know, they say make it a together thing. A lot of studies have shown that couples that do undertake the goals together have more success at losing the weight.
Right.
If both are of the same mind yeah, about it.
And then you could, you know, look at stuff like, you know, food-wise. Not necessarily changing completely, but, yeah. you know, you don't go from buying cakes every birthday and now you're buying a cupcake. Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
obviously. But buying a huge cake to buying a medium cake, that's very subtle.
Small changes,
right.
yeah.
So, you know, and then if you don't order dessert and, you know, say that person's overweight and you don't yeah. order dessert and they're asking you why, it's like, I just don't feel like dessert. Then, and you do that a couple
and
of times,
sort of the
that,
norm,
yeah, yeah, that might become a thing. Or you just, instead of drinking wine and stuff, you just drink water when you guys yeah. go out to eat. So, yeah. you know, all these little things that somebody sees you doing it and making the effort, then it might encourage them.
Yeah, and the second recommendation was to, like, get them a smartwatch. So it's like, oh, text messaging and your internet. And then, of course, the fitness app is on there. Just, you know, use it your own discretion.
You can get a fitness app on your phone. Yeah. If they want a fitness app, they can do
it. No, but sometimes you want it, like, you know, no matter where you go, it's right here. I want to know how many steps you walk today.
You know, it seems like a very personal thing unless the person asks for it. So, like, I'm in the market for a fitness watch, not a smartwatch. I don't want a smartwatch. I don't want anybody. I don't want to see text message. I don't want to see any of that. So, I mean, I've been actually actively researching for a smartwatch. Yeah. Like, I just want a watch that stops and starts, tells me how many steps, tells me, like, the whole, like, you know, the whole fitness stuff. But I don't want the phone app to it. I don't want any of that. So I've been in the market for that. So now we're having a discussion and then he decides to buy me that. Then I'm like, all right, well, you know, that's what I was looking for. This is exactly what I want. Great. Yeah. But I made no discussion about it. And I've been wearing my nice, you know, whatever watch. Yeah. Yeah. And now you bring me a fitness watch.
But no. But if it's a smart watch, I think it's better. Because then at least they don't know that's why you brought it. I mean, they might have an idea depending on your person.
Yeah, but again, if you feel like they're obviously you love the person, you want the best for them, but if you feel like they're out of shape or they're whatever, then you know, you, and again, it just depends on your dynamic.
Yeah.
Like I go home, every time I go home to Toronto, I have an aunt who's overweight, by the way, who tells me consistently that you've gained some weight. And I'm like,
this is not working here.
Yeah, but again, she's my aunt.
Yeah.
And I know she's been doing this like forever.
Yeah.
And you know, it is what it is, but it's like my aunt. And then I go back to LA and I don't have to, you know, deal with it. So, you know, it just depends on the dynamics of your relationship. If you on previous occasions just brought up something randomly by surprise and they're okay with it, then cool. But if you know, have never broached that topic before,
yeah.
I don't think Valentine's Day is the day to do that.
Probably not.
just saying.
I did like the recommendation. I'm personally in favor of like dates before you're like committed that indicate interest in certain things. Like, oh, let's go to the gym for a date. Let's have a hiking date, or let's have a beach date, or you know.
Those can backfire. I went on a date with a hiking. I actually went to the Culver City Stairs, and I love going to the Culver City Stairs.
Yeah.
But I also, in a lot of instances, like working out by myself.
Yeah.
So I'm going to the Culver City Stairs, and I know my psyche. Like I know when I want to push myself. I know when I'm just, you know, coasting. At least I'm here.
Yeah.
And that day is like, we're here, you know, we're doing it. I normally walk slow, whatever. And he's trying to like pep rally coach me. And I'm like, dude, it's unnecessary. I was a professional athlete. Like, I'm retired now. It's not that serious.
But it's good to get that out of the way so you know.
Like, oh, yeah. There was not another date after that.
Yeah,
so I was over it.
Because that could have been a month in, and then you already kind of like the guy. You're like, oh, man, this just ruined it
all. Like, and then I told him, too. It's like, that was unnecessary. I don't need extra coaching. Like, when I'm ready,
we're good.
Do that. Thanks. We're here already.
Well, maybe you guys should have gone on a plogging date. Do you know much about plogging?
I read up on it.
I mean, I love it. You know, I'm big into the environment.
Mm-hmm.
I just actually did a beach cleanup this
past
weekend.
I liked your picture. Like I said, I would.
Thank you for the support.
No problem. Support any way I can.
Yeah, we had a beach cleanup, Project Save Our Surf, and we just cleaned up some stuff on the beach. And then I come to find out in Sweden they've made a sport of this. So plogging is you go on these runs, these jogs, and as you do it, you pick up some plastic bottles and you pick up trash. So you go with your run, you know, your bag bin. And you also maybe incorporate some squats and some different things along the way. So I think it's a great way to be environmentally fit and also physically fit. But you seem skeptical.
Not skeptical. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm definitely about recycling and stuff like that. But there's just a couple things for me. One, running for me is already difficult in itself. So, like, I'm playing my soca music. It's really, really loud. I'm running to the beat. If I stop, it's a problem. So I try to not stop at all.
But now, wouldn't picking up trash make you motivated to stop? You say, oh, my God.
No, because then for me, picking up trash, and then this is, again, now I'm thinking I have, like, minor OCD. This is for me, you're picking up trash, somebody else has touched it, you don't know where it's been. It's been on the ground for how many days. You're picking it up with, like, you know, you have to have, like, gloves.
You can have silicone gloves.
Right, but then there's something might be in it. You don't know. Like, it might have that little smell. Like, you know when you drink a can of whatever, and you think you finish it, and then there's that little minus drop, and, like, you didn't know. You put it in your bag. Now it's drip. Like, it's just. Is a lot of, for me, it's just a lot of germs, and then that's gonna just turn me off from actually the run. Like, I don't mind almost doing like a 5K walk where we go through the park and we're doing this. Like, then it's then you do it with a group of people, then you're all on one accord. But to run, to me, because running for me is difficult, it's just not gonna happen. But if running to you is easy, because I know people who run, like, they pass me all the time. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. They look so comfortable. They look like they're on a cat. Like, those type of people enjoy. Their running form looks awesome. Even the ones who have terrible running form. They look like they're just running on water. They look so peaceful, while I feel like every part of my body is just fighting against me and saying, Trick, this is not a good idea. So to the folks who do run and it's easy for them, definitely.
So if you're running coasty along, you may want to stop, five squats, pick up a bottle. I think it's a good idea. But obviously consult your doctor before you plog.
But, and use gloves too. You just honestly, obviously if it's in not so good areas, obviously that. But even if it's a nice area, you just never know. Especially in LA. Yeah. I mean, there's homeless people that are literally on the streets of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
They live in Beverly Hills.
So you never,
just like, you never know. You just never know. So.
I do love this idea behind fitness and activism. Apparently, they have a good gym in the UK where people are encouraged, or they run, and they have a meeting or tea with an elderly person, and they run back home.
Oh, that's
nice.
So
a good gym facilitates that.
Yeah.
Guide runners facilitates runners that will help the blind.
Oh, nice.
So they kind of like attach to the blind person, but it's going to be for a workout. So
yeah, nice.
Run together. And then there's one for the homeless where they do biking for the homeless.
Uh-huh.
And so you volunteer your time, they give you a bike, and you deliver food and clothing to the homeless.
Nice. Yeah, so, I know some places have like something called Sweat Angels where you check every check-in, the group donates money to a certain organization. So there's the CrossFit community is big in that.
Yeah.
And there's, I think, Orange Theory Fitness also does stuff like that. So there's certain gyms that are kind of known for that.
I used to do like fitness bar crawls where, you know, we'd run to different bars and then do like a fitness activity, whether it's 20 push-ups or squats, and then go to another bar. So I love that you can actually do this and actually be environmentally friendly too.
Sounds terrible too. Actually, I was watching this interview with George Clooney. David Letterman was interviewing George Clooney on his Netflix show, and he was talking about, like, it's a really amazing interview, so if you just check it out. But he was talking about how he got into, you know, those causes, like he's helping people in Syria and Rwanda and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, it's almost a selfish reason, because you do it selfishly because you want to almost make yourself feel good. Obviously, it's helping the person, but you know, you do that and just kind of acknowledge that. And then even if you feel like you don't have the time or the money or whatever, there's different ways to help people. Yeah. And it's worst case scenarios, it's tax write off. So
yeah, and that's what I tell people. I mean, if you've never really volunteered before, the first time is a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. After that, it's a selfish thing.
Yeah,
because you realize you feel way better after for yourself than before. So hopefully people take that and We get some good volunteerism and good fitness going together. well, I guess I think we're done for today. But we have, I believe it's Jonte from the Simone Biles story from Lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be Jonte Godlock is going to be here with us next week.
Nice.
She's a gymnast. Simone Biles' story aired February 3rd on Lifetime, and she'll be with us to talk about that role and how she incorporates fitness into her life today.
Sounds good.
So, guys, please tune in next week. It should be a good one. If you guys are on iTunes, give us 5 stars. On YouTube, we want to hear your comments. Hopefully get some thumbs up. Again, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, Shaka Strong.
So you can find me on everything at TK Trinidad. Speaking of running and charity, I am running the marathon, or training for the marathon in order to raise money for water pumps in Africa. So if you want to donate, you can go under my bylines for all my social media, at TK Trinidad, Twitter, Facebook, IG, all that stuff, and you can donate.
And
there.
You'll be plogging through that marathon, correct?
Negative.
No, we'll not at all. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Happy Valentine's Day.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire PHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live. Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood redefined.
We are still kids, but we're so